Brahma is therefore never impersonal, but when such mantras are indirectly interpreted, it is wrongly established that the Absolute Truth is impersonal. The Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, is full of all opulences, and therefore he has transcendental form of full existence, knowledge, and bliss. How one can establish thus the Absolute Truth as impersonal? Brahman being full of opulences, it is understood that he has manifold energies, and all such energies are classified under the three headings under the authority of Vishnu Puranam 6760. It says that the transcendental energies of the Lord Vishnu are primarily three. His spiritual energy, as well as the energy of the living entities, are classified as superior energy, whereas the material energy is inferior one, which is sprouted out of ignorance. The energy of the living entities is technically called Kshetrajna energy. Kshetrajna Shakti, although equal in quality with the Lord, becomes overpowered by material energy out of ignorance, and thus suffers all sorts of material miseries. In other words, the living entities are marginal energy between the superior spiritual and inferior material energy, and in proportion of the living being's contact with either of the material or spiritual energies, the living entities become situated in proportionately higher and lower levels of existence. The Lord is beyond the inferior and marginal energies, as above mentioned, and his spiritual energy is manifested in three different phases. They are manifested as external existence, eternal bliss, and eternal knowledge. So far eternal existence is concerned, it is conducted by the Shamdini potency, and similarly bliss and knowledge are conducted by the Adlini and Shambit potencies, respectively. As the Supreme Energetic Lord, he is the supreme controller of the spiritual, marginal, and material energies. And all these different phases of energies are connected with the Lord in eternal devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is thus enjoying in his transcendental eternal form, and therefore it is astounding that one may dare to call the Supreme Lord as non-energetic. The Lord is the controller of all the above-mentioned energies, and the living entities are parts and parcels of one of the energies. Therefore, there is a gulf of difference between the Lord and the living entities. How then one can say that the Lord and the living entities are one and the same thing? In the Bhagavad Gita also, the living entities are described to belong to the superior energy of the Lord. On the principles of intimate correlation between the energy and the energetic, both of them are non-different also. Therefore, the Lord and the living entities are non-different as the energy and the energetic. Earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and ego, all these elements are inferior energies of the Lord. But the living entities are different from all of them as superior energy, and that is the version of the Bhagavad Gita. The transcendental form of the Lord is eternally existent and full of transcendental bliss. How then such form can be a product of the material mode of goodness? Anyone, therefore, who does not believe in the form of the Lord, such person is certainly a faithless demon, and as such he is untouchable, not to be seen person non grata, and fit to be punished by the regulation of the Plutonic king. The Buddhists are called atheist because they have no respect for the Vedas, but those who defy the Vedic conclusions, as above mentioned, under the cover of being follower of the Vedas, are verily more dangerous than the Buddhists. Sri Vyasadeva very kindly compiled the clause of the Vedic knowledge in his Vedanta Sutras, and if somebody hears the commentation of the Mayavadi school, as represented by the Shamkar Sampradaya, certainly such audience will be misled on the path of spiritual realization. The theory of emanations is the beginning for the Vedanta Sutra, and as such, all the cosmic manifestations are emanations from the Absolute Personality of Godhead by his inconceivable different energies. The example of the touchstone is verily comparable with the theory of emanation. The touchstone can convert unlimited quantity of iron into gold, and still the touchstone remains as it is. Similarly, the Supreme Lord can produce all the manifestive world by his inconceivable energies, and yet he is full and unchanged. He is Purna, complete, and the unlimited number of Purnas being emanated from him, he is still Purna. The theory of illusion by the Mayavada school is advocated on the ground that the theory of emanation will cause transformation of the absolute truth, and in that case Vyasadeva will be put into error. And to save this anomaly of the great master, they have skillfully brought in the theory of illusion. The world or the cosmic creation is not illusion or false, as it is advocated by the Mayavad school, but it has no permanent existence. A non-permanent thing cannot be called as false altogether. But the conception of the material body by the living being as his self is certainly wrong. Pranaba, Om, or the Omkara in the Vedas, is the primeval hymn, and the transcendental sound is identical with the form of the Lord. All the Vedic hymns are based on this Pranab Omkara. Tattvamasi is but a side word of the Vedic literatures, and therefore this word cannot be the primeval hymn of the Vedas instead of the Omkara. Sripad Shankaracharya has given more stress on the side word Tattvamasi than the primeval principle, Omkara. Footnote. In our Chaitanya Charitamrita essays and text, we have more elaborately explained all these philosophical intricacies. Srimad Bhagavatam clears them all. The Lord thus spoke on the Vedanta Sutras and defied all the propaganda of the Mayavad school. The Bhattacharya tried to defend himself and his Mayavad school by jugglery of logic and grammar, but the Lord was able to defeat all such jugglery of words by his forceful arguments. He affirmed that we are all related with the personality of Godhead eternally, and the devotional service is our eternal function to exchange dealings of our relations, and the result of such exchange of dealing is to attain prema, or love of Godhead. When love of Godhead is attained, love for all other beings automatically follows, because the Lord is the sum total of all the living beings. The Lord said, accept these three items, namely eternal relation with God, exchange of dealings thereof, and to attain to the stage love of Godhead, all that are instructed in the Vedas are superfluous only, and besides these three items everything is concocted imagination. The Lord further added that the Mayavad philosophy catered by Sripad Shankaracharya is something imaginary explanation of the Vedas. But it had to be done by him, Shankaracharya, because he was ordered to do so by the personality of Godhead. In the Padma Puranam, it is stated that the personality of Godhead ordered his lordship Shiva to deviate the human race from him, the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead was to be so covered that people may be encouraged to generate more and more population. His lordship Mahadev said to the Devi, in the Kali Yuga, I shall preach the Mayavad philosophy, which is nothing but clouded Buddhism, in the garb of a Brahmin. After hearing all these speeches of the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya was struck with wonder and awe, and began to see him in dead silence. The Lord then encouraged him with assurance that there was no cause of wonder. I say that devotional service under the personality of Godhead is the highest need of human life. He then quoted a sloka from the Bhagavat and assured him that even the liberated souls who are absorbed in the spirit and spiritual realization do also take to the devotional service of the Lord Hari, because the personality of Godhead has such transcendental qualities as he attracts the heart of the liberated soul too. Then the Bhattacharya desired to listen to the explanation of the Atmaram sloka from the Bhagavat 1.7.10. On which the Lord first of all asked Bhattacharya to explain it, and after that he would explain. The Bhattacharya then scholarly explained the shloka with special reference to logic. He explained the shloka in 9 different ways, chiefly based on logic, because he was the most renowned scholar of logic of the time. The Lord, after hearing the Bhattacharya, thanked him for the scholarly presentation of the shloka, And then on the request of the Bhattacharya, the Lord explained the sloka in 64 different ways, without touching the 9 different explanations given by the Bhattacharya. Thus, after hearing the explanation of the Atmaram sloka from the Lord, the Bhattacharya was convinced that such a scholarly presentation of the sloka is impossible to be done by any earthly creature. Footnote: the complete text of the explanation given by the Lord will form a booklet itself, and therefore we have tried to present it in a different chapter in our Chaitanya Charitamrita essays and texts. Before this, he was tried to be convinced by Sri Gopinathacharya about the divinity of the Lord, but at that time he could not so accept him. At the present moment, the Bhattacharya was astounded by the Lord's exposition of the Vedanta Sutra and explanations of the Atmaram sloka, and thus he began to think within himself that he committed a great offense at the lotus feet of the Lord without recognizing him to be Krishna himself. He then surrendered unto him, repenting his past dealings with him, and the Lord was kind enough to accept the Bhattacharya. Out of his causeless mercy, the Lord manifested before him, first as four-handed Narayan, and then again as two-handed Lord Krishna with the flute in his hand. The Bhattacharya at once fell down on the lotus feet of the Lord and composed many suitable slokas in praise of the Lord by the grace of him. He composed almost 100 slokas in praise of the Lord. The Lord then embraced him, and out of transcendental ecstasy, the Bhattacharya became unconscious of the physical state of life. Tears, tremoring, throbbing of the heart, perspiration, emotional waves, dancing, singing, crying, and all the 8 symptoms of trance were manifested in the body of the Bhattacharya. Sri Gopinathacharya became very glad and astonished on this marvelous conversion of his brother-in-law by the grace of the Lord. Out of the 100 celebrated slokas composed by the Bhattacharya in praise of the Lord, the following 2 are most important, and these 2 slokas explain the mission of the Lord in gist. They are as follows. 1. Let me surrender unto the personality of Godhead who has appeared now as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of all mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning, and devotional service of himself. 2. Pure devotional service of the Lord, having been lost in oblivion of time, the Lord has appeared to renovate the principles, and therefore I do offer my obeisances unto his lotus feet. The Lord explained the word mukti as equivalent of the word Vishnu, or the personality of Godhead. And to attain mukti, or liberation from the bondage of material existence, is to attain to the service of the Lord. The Lord then proceeded towards South India for some time and converted everyone he met on the way to become a devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. Such devotees also converted many others to the cult of devotional service, or Bhagavat Dharma, of the Lord. And thus he reached on the bank of the Godavari, where he met Srila Ramananda Roy, the governor of Madras, on behalf of Maharaj Prataprudra, the king of Orissa. His talks with Ramananda Roy is very much important in the matter of higher realization of transcendental knowledge, and the conversation forms itself a small booklet. We shall, however, try to give herewith a gist of the conversation as follows. Sri Ramananda Roy was a self-realized soul, although outwardly he belonged to a caste lower than the Brahmin in social convention. He was neither in renounced order of life, and besides that he was a high government servant in the state. Still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as one of the liberated soul on the strength of high order of realization of transcendental knowledge. Similarly, the Lord appointed Srila Haridas Thakur, a veteran devotee of the Lord, hailing from the Mohammedan family. And there are many other great devotees of the Lord who hailed from different communities, sects, and castes of the then social status of life. But the Lord's only criterion was to see the standard of devotional service of the particular person. He was not concerned with the outward dress of a man, but he was concerned only with the inner soul and its activities.